This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Podcasting, fanficking panel here at the Star Wars track, and it goes to show that if everybody who was here or who was at the Episode 7 Rumors panel were here and actually paid attention to everyone who was on this panel, they might actually know what was going on. So why don't we start over at the end with you, Aaron, if you want to introduce yourself, and we'll just introduce ourselves up the line.
My name is Aaron Goins, and I am a blogger for StarWarsReport.com, and I also am a host of a podcast called Star Wars Bookworms, which is based on the Star Wars Expanded Universe.
I'm Amy Ratcliffe. I blog for StarWars.com, Star Wars Insider. Well, I guess I write for them, not so much blog. And on my blog, Geek with Curves, I talk about Star Wars probably more than is healthy.
Hey, I'm Bethany Blanton, and I'm one of the founders of StarWarsReport.com and one of the hosts of the Star Wars Report podcast. I also do some work with Middle Earth Network and Middle Earth Network Radio.
Same deal. I'm Riley Blanton, the founder of StarWarsReport.com, and I blog on occasion, mainly podcast over at StarWarsReport.com, and I'm very glad that Lucasfilm is very generous with the use of the actual title in Star Wars.
I'm Nancy Schwartz. I blog for Toshi Station and also podcast, and I've written fan fiction back in the day.
Brian Larson, I'm one of the other writers at Toshi-Station.net because someone at GoDaddy has been domain squatting Toshi-Station.net for the last 3 years. I'm also one of the hosts of Toshi Station Radio, and I've also done the fan fiction thing.
Okay, I'm Ann Davenport. I'm AR Davenport online at theforce.net and fanfiction.net. And I'm mostly text only, and everything I do is clearly labeled fiction.
And I'm Brian Young. I co-host a podcast called Full of Sith. I write about Star Wars for a website called Big Shiny Robot, and I've done that for Huffington Post, and I've done some stuff with the official Star Wars website, and I've got some articles appearing in the last issue of Star Wars Insider and the next few. So I'm that's why I'm here. So we want to start the conversation, and I want to ask everyone, starting from this side down this time, why you feel that fan fiction or blogging or podcasting, whichever your poison might be, why that's important to the fan community.
We'll start here.
Me? Yeah. I thought we were going to do it the same way.
No, we're starting with this side.
Oh, okay. All right. I write fan fiction. The whole basis of fan fiction is that there isn't enough Star Wars that I want out there, so I have to make my own. There's a lot of fan fiction out there, and whether you're a reader or a writer, it's important partly because it's starting to be recognized. Friday I went to a panel on the Electronics Forum, fan forum, or, well, Electronics Frontiers Forum for webpage for Wattpad.com, and they talked about fan fiction and how their writers went pro and all that. And fan fiction is starting to get noticed. Before, it was something, it was too much trouble to sue all of the high schoolers who were posting their creative writing project. And at some point they realized it was free advertising, but now it's starting to move into something else, and nobody's sure what. But I am grateful that, well, they haven't... technically, it's copyright infringement, but and the law is really murky on it, but they're working on it, and it doesn't look like they're leaning towards squelching it. So,
well, I do the I do podcasting, blogging, and fan fiction mostly because I like talking about Star Wars. I really enjoy blogging because I realize that there was sort of a market for just meta commentary about the galaxy far, far away, and I realized that, oh wow, I can write 2,500 words on a completely inane subject and I will get feedback on it. It's kind of a drug like that. Podcasting I really enjoy because it's a great way to just have a conversation that others can listen in on, just talking Star Wars, geek culture, and all the stuff we cover. And fan fiction's great because Star Wars is a huge universe, and there's always stuff to explore, but a lot of the fan fiction out there doesn't really have a huge money-making market, so that's where fan fiction fills the void. It allows people to write stuff for a select audience that otherwise would not have their fiction needs met.
Yeah, I turned to fan fiction because I was getting back into Star Wars and the books I wanted to read weren't being published, so I wrote them myself. And then I met a bunch of other people, some of whom are in this room, and became friends. And, you know, you just become friends with people and you start talking about Star Wars. And then I got online and started talking about Star Wars in general and not just fan fiction. And then... I got roped into a podcast, so.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I talk about Star Wars every week and people actually listen to what I have to say, so I, you know, that's, and get to interview authors and stuff, which has been awesome.
Why is blogging fan fiction important? I started as a 16-year-old discovering that there existed this thing called podcasts, and the first thing I searched for in the iTunes music store was Star Wars. And I was like, good grief, there are at least four or five of these things. Little did we know, years later, it keeps increasing. And that is important. I think that's a very good question, Brian, because this fan community as we know it today wouldn't exist without blogging, without podcasting. And I think that there's more room than ever, and now's the perfect time to jump into the world of creating content that expresses your fandom, not just consuming it. And I think that as a fan, your experience becomes considerably better when you're actually creating content and not just consuming it on the official level.
Why would I get into something like this? Well, in part because Riley told me that I should, and I was like, well, okay.
I think Nancy could sympathize with you on that front.
Yes, but... I found myself enjoying it very soon afterwards, and it was a way to express everything that I thought about Star Wars, but it was also a way to join in with the community, a community for Star Wars fans and by Star Wars fans. Blogging, podcasting in general, there are so many markets out there, and most people say, well, you know, the internet is overcrowded, the market is overcrowded, but if you are good at what you do, and anyone can get good at it, I mean, you don't have to be a professional to start. That's what you're there to learn in the beginning, and that's why you would listen to a panel such as this. But I was completely new at it when I started. I had no idea what I was doing, but I've come to enjoy it so much, and to the point where I'm on a panel at Dragon Con speaking to 300 people about Star Wars Episode 7, which I know nothing about because... It doesn't come out till 2015, but I love doing it.
For me, blogging is really a way to connect with fans. I think Star Wars fans are the best fan community I've ever been involved with, and that really hits home. Like when I go places like Celebration, and just the amount of passion fans dump into crafts and costumes and food. So there's that level, and discussions you can open the door with by blogging and just starting conversations. You learn a lot from other fans and their perspectives. Even if you've seen Star Wars hundreds of times or dozens of times, whatever it is, you're learning new things, but people can constantly offer you new perspectives. So opening that door to connections with other fans, it's been a big reason why I like to blog about Star Wars.
And because I get to go last, it means everybody else already said everything that I was going to say. But for me personally, I'm big into the Star Wars expanded universe, the books and comics and things like that. And it's a kind of a smaller community than just Star Wars in general. So there's not as many podcasts and stuff out there on that subject. So me and my friend Teresa Delgado, who's my co-host on Star Wars Bookworms, decided that we would just come up with an excuse to talk Star Wars books every month. And that's pretty much how it started. I'm not a professional at it. We're still working out our audio issues and, you know, trying to make everything sound great. But it's just an excuse to kind of get together and talk about Star Wars. And if there's people out there that want to listen to us, great.
So it sounds like a lot of why everyone got into blogging or podcasting or fan fiction was personal reasons, like hyper-personal reasons, that the conversation that you wanted to have about fandom or about Star Wars in general wasn't being had in exactly the way you thought it needed to be, and that's why you guys all sort of entered that marketplace. I hate calling it a marketplace, though, because it's not like anybody's making any money on it. That community. So I'm wondering if there are people here who would be interested in going about creating their piece of the community like that, be it through fan fiction or blogging or podcasting. And Aaron, we'll start with you. What would you suggest to them as the tools they should use or what they should keep in mind as they go forward into joining that broader community?
Well, I'll speak to, I guess, blogging and podcasting because those are the two things that I do. There's tons of Star Wars fan sites out there, tons, and they're pretty much all of them are looking for writers, you know, volunteer writers. Nobody's getting paid for blogging for a Star Wars fan site. So if you're interested at all in blogging, you know, look up your, you know, go on Google, search for Star Wars fan sites and find some out there and just contact them. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to give you a chance to write for them. As far as podcasting goes, pretty much all you need is a microphone. I mean, anyone can do it. Some are better than others at it, you know, just like anything in life. But don't let that scare you away from trying it out. I mean, because even if your audience is 10 people, 20 people that love your podcast.
Hey, guys.
Those are, you know, 20 people that...
These 20 people.
Right, exactly.
Right here in front of us, one,
you know,
two.
Those are 20 people that want to hear what you have to say, and, you know, as long as you can, you know, there's a time commitment to it, and I think consistency is definitely key to building an audience, but if you have the time and the passion to try it out, you know, anyone can do it.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about blogging. It is great to write for other fan sites, but if there's something you really want to say about Star Wars and you're like, where can I put this? Where can I post it? Just start a blog. Do it yourself. It's not hard. And you can really open up that way. You're not limited to topics. You can write about whatever you want. And Twitter, this is like a sidebar of blogging. That's a great way to connect with other fans and fan sites and people who you can write for, or if you want to start a community. For me, Twitter's always been the place to start because it's so easy to slip with that Star Wars hashtag and find what people are talking about. So yeah, that's my advice just with blogging. If you want to write about Star Wars and whatever your little corner is, and don't worry, like, if somebody's already posted about the exact topic you wanted to post about, doesn't matter. Like, you have your own voice, you have your own perspective. Don't let that limit you, basically.
Can I just jump in really quickly and say, I think Twitter is how I connected with just about everybody on this panel. So I think that's a really good place to jump in. So, didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think Amy is right in, you know, have something where you can put your own thoughts in, because it is a community, so joining in with everyone else's thoughts is definitely a good thing. You know, don't hesitate, don't be afraid to. And if you don't know where to start, just start somewhere, because you can figure it out as you go along, and you can follow people who have been in the community a long time, ask them questions, say, you know, hey, I'd like to start a podcast, but I'm not really even sure what one is, so how might I go about doing this? You know, just start by talking with friends, or start your own blog, or even do those Twitter posts. If you're a little afraid of writing something long form, start with Twitter first. And yeah, I think I've met everyone on this panel through Twitter as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. We had a question. Okay.
I was going to ask, like, how would you guys get a blog or a podcast? Like, would you go to Tumblr? Would you go to Twitter? Or would you go to another fan site? Would there be a fan site you recommend? Like, how do you get your stuff connected to other people out there? Does that make sense?
That's community relations, that's a whole...
Yeah, it's tricky,
and
yeah.
I'm going to just take a moment here. Who here is interested in Star Wars blogging and actually being a blogger? Come on, Matt, we know you're interested. And who here is interested in doing podcasting? Good, good. We've got a couple. Okay. And those are the two, exactly.
For the rest of you, why are you here?
What about
fan fiction? Okay.
Who here is interested in fan fiction?
Yeah.
That's why you're here. See, there you go.
Everything. This is a pretty even divide. To answer your question, and I'll jump, and then I guess we can just continue on down the line. When it comes to blogging, it's entirely your choice. There are recommended ways of doing it that if you want to be more professional about it, because even as fans, we can be professional, and there are fans who aren't professional, both in behavior and in look and style, and then there are fans who are very, very professional, and the more seriously you take it, the more fun you'll have. But at some point, there's a limit if you have a job or a life. Or if not, you can do panels on it.
A what and a what?
But if you want a free solution to get started, there's nothing stopping you from getting a free blog from Google or WordPress and setting up a URL and just starting blogging. The other way is just talk to people. When I started, I was terrified of emailing other fan sites or interacting with them or asking for interviews or things like that. But it's an artificial fear, because there are a few exceptions, but almost everyone I have ever met will love to talk to you, and if you're doing great stuff, they'll want to spread the word of what you're doing, and it doesn't matter. The Star Wars community has, fortunately, very, very little competition, in my experience. There are people who do take it that way, but I think when it comes to getting started, get yourself out there and talk to people. Interviews.
And one thing to help you get yourself out there, especially if you're looking to get in as a blogger or a podcaster, and this isn't the only way to do it, but what worked for me is I started writing at another site before I had my own site. That went well. While I was at that site, I also had the idea to start a podcast. We hosted it there for a while, and it was going well, and eventually that spun out because I got enough reach and eyeballs on what I was doing to spin it out into my own thing and to give me a bit more creative freedom there. So like Aaron said, go out, see what fan sites are out there, read what they're doing, see if anyone's looking for a new writer, get some sample pieces written that shows off your writing chops that they can take a look at and see what happens there. But that's a great way to start, is by piggybacking off of someone else's legwork.
That's exactly how I started. I was blogging for Huffington Post for some stuff I was doing in my day job, and realized I couldn't write about I couldn't write about Star Wars as often as I wanted to there, or comic books, or whatever else I could. You know, I could smuggle a piece in here and there. And I did, you know, but I created Big Shiny Robot because I needed that, and I didn't realize how much I needed to express myself that way. And now, almost 6 years in, I think we're a pretty cool website still. And, the way I got introduced to the Star Wars community was I was writing reviews of every episode of Clone Wars as they were happening. And I think I was the only one who started doing that. I think I'm the only one who was on from the first episode of season one, even the ForceNet was just like tweeting, like live tweeting that first season. And it's exploded since then. There's probably, when Rebels starts, there's going to be 40 reviews of every episode the day after it happens.
Okay. Now, my perspective is from fan fiction. Now, all of you guys are podcasting and tweeting and all that.
No, I come
very
from the fan fiction background.
Well, that's true. But
yeah, a little bit there.
Those ones are really aimed at community and interaction. If you write fan fiction and you post fan fiction, highly recommend posting it on a website that has a hit counter, because lots of people like to read fan fiction and then move on. there's no cure for it. I haven't found a cure for it. My example for that is, I have one little two-part story. 5 people have left comments. 50 people of other people have marked it down as a favorite. And so fan fiction is something you do more for to satisfy your yearning for those stories. I'd love to know if any of you podcasters ever want to dramatize some fan fiction. You know, like on the radio kind of
Actually,
thing.
Actually, we have. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've
well, then
we've
I'll
done
have
a
to talk
of those.
To you. Yeah, I'll have to talk to you. Those would be there. Are plenty of lots of people like write little short ones.
And on the topic of fan fiction, momentarily, if you want people to read and comment on your stuff, read and comment on their stuff.
Didn't Del Rey do some stuff? They dramatized. Del Rey dramatized a little bit of some fan fiction once, didn't they?
I think at Celebration 6, they had a booth, like the audio booth, where you could go in and record your stuff or something.
That was more like memories kind of thing.
No. They did Del Rey with their audio books department. They came in and they let people come in and read pieces of their fan fiction. There was a contest, right? Really?
Yeah, I didn't think it was fan fiction.
Yeah. No, I think that, well, it depends. Well, let's wait till episode 7 comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm not crazy. Thank you.
Okay, good. I missed it.
This is reminding me that there was a whole lot of confusion about that at the time.
Yeah, I was at C6 and I completely missed it.
But one thing that you can look at when you're starting any of this, and this applies to fanfic as well as podcasting, blogging, reporting, doing interviews, is don't be afraid to mess up. Because if you're starting out, you are going to mess up. I don't know how many episodes that Riley and I lost amid sounds of yells of frustration.
Ryan, you check our recording, please?
Yes.
Well, and the podcasts take over, too. Like, I'm going directly from this panel to my hotel room to go record a Full of Sith episode.
Yeah, we did that
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we recorded one before coming here.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. But, again, don't be afraid to make mistakes because you learn from those mistakes. And everyone makes them starting out. That if you start perfectly, I will wonder if you are human. So that'll kind of scare me.
Or if you're some kind of broadcast community ringer.
Yeah, as far as the fan fiction stuff is, I would go back and read some of the first stories I wrote, and I'm like, oh my god, those are absolutely terrible.
Can I ask you guys a question? Yeah. Is there a podcast devoted to discussing and reviewing fan fiction?
I don't think so, but I know we've talked about
it. We used to have a little segment in which we'd recommend a piece of fan work, like fan art, fan video, fan fiction, but we haven't done that in about a year.
Yeah.
But I guess that's my point, though. Like, there's room in the community for a podcast or a blog on just about anything, you know. I know on Full of Sith we're really generalized and we just kind of we're all over the map, but there are podcasts. Like, you can have a podcast that's so hyper specific. I've talked to people who have a podcast dedicated solely to the old Decipher Star Trek customizable card game.
Wow.
Like, that's how that's how hyper-specific their podcast is. And so there can be a podcast about anything, really, truly. And especially in the Star Wars universe, it's big enough, you know.
How does anybody find these things? There's so much stuff out there. How do you find it?
Keywords, SEO optimization.
Do you put keywords on your podcast so that people can find them?
Yes.
With
yes, we do.
Mostly Star Wars baked goods, and I created it not because I had any desire to
Sour Cake?
I did.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
It's rain until it's
cold,
though.
Oh.
As well, you should have.
And I use real plastic sharks, so it's great quality.
Nice.
So, and I will tell you, I've thrown it out there. I've done no, I have keywords, you know, I've put keywords in, but I've done no, nothing. I don't care who sees it. If you want to see it, you can see it. On my Facebook, there's a link to it.
I want to see it right
there. I will tell you, people have found it. I have a counter, so I know. When I post something, you know, I've most weeks I'll have two page views. I don't think I've looked at it since probably. Something out there, people do find it, and people will comment over it. And the other thing I'll say is that there's a lot of crossover. So my blog gets picked up by people who do baking and crafting, and it's not just Star Wars. And I will cross post from people like just Jen does these amazing little Jawa cookies, and I linked to her cookies because they were awesome.
Actually, I want to link to this now because we do a feature called Bake It So on our blog. we'd love to see some of that stuff.
Is it all dessert, though?
It's not all dessert. I do a little bit of. I got a new sewing machine. So I posted a fabric pattern for Star Wars pajamas.
I know. What's the site? I want to know.
It's TK Pegging.
Yeah. I mean, what about those Star Wars vegetables here?
You know, but it's not updated. But I will tell you, even if you do nothing, if you just have content, and this is what Ann said earlier, if there's content that you've created because you wanted to create it, and you put it out there, it's amazing how people will actually find it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but it's important for you not to worry about the response. Just go out there. You went to all the trouble to create it. Throw it out. Hit counters are great because some people, I've run into people who actually will tell me in person, oh, I love your stuff. And they're going, yeah, did you leave a comment? No. No. they couldn't think of anything better than saying, oh, I loved your story. Which is great in person, but you know, some people they're embarrassed by just saying, "Oh, I really liked your story," and then they don't have anything else because they haven't quantified. And a lot of people have trouble quantifying in words what they like and why they liked it. But they make that hit counter move, so that's good.
We had a question right here.
There are two places, and pretty much only two places. There's fanfiction.net, otherwise known as the Slush Pit. And there's the TFN fanfiction forums, which is, TFN fanfiction is pretty much the go-to place for Star Wars fanfiction.
Yeah.
Do
you have a megabyte?
No.
Now, here's...
I would recommend you break up your long, long, long story into individual posts.
Here's something important. Fanfiction.net, it may be a big slush pit, but it's got a good sort by category and all that. Also, for breaking up a big fan fiction, some people have told me they'll read it on their lunch hour at work. So think about, you know, no more than 10 pages of text in a regular font and in Word. No more. I try to aim for 5 to 7 if I can. Think of those breakpoints because that's how they keep track of it. And all that. Fanfiction. The Force.net has a one aspect is that it's hard to search once you don't, you know, serialize it like every, you know, if you've got the whole thing done. Serialize it, give people a few days. I had one that was going that was 34 ports, and I had a schedule because I had to get it done by this time. Posting every day isn't great because people need time to catch up.
Yeah, I like fanfiction.net for searching like archives and reading stories that have been finished, but like I really love the TFN forums because people will comment on the stories, and that's where you make friends.
It's more for interaction.
I've got a question for you and for the other fanfickers on the panel. Have you guys, if you guys are spending this much time, I mean, like, in order to quantify a byte limit on text, that must be a massive amount of text. And I'm wondering if you guys have spent all this time creating Star Wars stories in this fiction universe of your own, have you thought about, you know, pulling out the Star Wars elements and actually trying to, you know, revise and edit it into something that, that you could actually make money on?
Yes.
Me personally, no, but that's just a philosophical thing on my part. Even the kind of rule is thou shalt not profit off your fan fiction, and filing the serial numbers off is still too close for me personally.
Yeah. In the case of fan fiction, if you find that you're writing your own character, original characters on your own original worlds, you should, you know, it doesn't have to be Star Wars. You realize it doesn't have to be Star Wars. I write fan fiction because I want those Star Wars characters in there, and they're copyrighted and all that. But anything, if I find that I'm doing all original characters, all original worlds, that's got to be saved for regular, you know, for original fiction. And be careful if you really do decide you want to actually do your own fiction and all that, and make some actual, you know, be the original creator on that. I don't know if there are enough hours in the day to write fan fiction, write your own original fiction, have a life, have a job. At some point, you might, if you did original fiction, you might just have to squeeze out the fan fiction just because there was enough time in the day to do it all.
I'd love to read a book about Duke Sky Kicker. Well, he didn't deal with it very well.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't satisfied. We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
If it's really specific to the characters, it's fan fiction. And, you know, put it out there and break it up into pieces small enough for somebody to read during their lunch hour at work.
So when can we expect 50 Shades of Hyperspace?
You can find that online.
Nancy wrote it.
No, I only write Luke and Mara fiction, Brian.
50 Shades of Luke and Mara?
Yeah. Illustrated?
Well, oh, I will point out that I write fan fiction because there's not enough early Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan stuff, so I put it out there. And I'm not going to change the names or anything like that. I want Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan right there. So it's fan fiction.
On a similar point, I wrote fan fiction because between 1999 and 2012, there were no X-Wing books. And I really wanted those, but they didn't exist, so I wrote them myself.
There were some pretty cool Clone Wars books, though.
Yeah, and they've been canceled by the cartoons.
Well, not canceled, just retconned.
Alternate universe.
That's a different panel. That's
no.
The force.net, also, people's servers go down. It's better to have your stuff in more than one spot. I've seen a few posts from the force.net saying, oh, I can't find my early stuff. I had my hard drive crashed. Can you find it? And stuff like that. So, a lot of these sites, they don't worry about cross-posting. If you have any questions, ask. But I like it in more than one place because, you know, things happen to servers. And what is it again? Archive of our own. The other one that had a panel was Wattpad. www.attpatd.com. I think it's .com, and I haven't tried it. They're more geared towards short stuff and more interaction, though. So they had their own panel on Friday.
You know what would make a lot of sense for a story like that would be posting a blog, you know, where each story is its own blog post. You've got it archived forever. You put it on WordPress. I mean, the only thing that would make that go away is Google going under, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I used to use LiveJournal, but I don't know if I'd trust them anymore.
So let's open up for some questions, unless anybody on the panel has a question they'd like to pose the rest of the panel.
Well, maybe we could talk a little bit about, like, if you're interested in podcasting, maybe some suggested, like, equipment or something, like a starter.
Oh, right.
Kind of like,
it's
what's
my power alley. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as podcasting, I can start. You need a microphone and headphones. And no, I see. Like, I'll let you guys answer that kind of stuff. For like, I've got a mixing board and like a $60 mic I bought on Amazon. It's a Shure, and I just run through Skype. Like, Full of Sith is all through Skype, which I get told often that people don't believe that, but
no, I do. We ran on Skype for a year and a half.
Yeah, and so. I don't even record it. Mike, my co-host, records it from Philadelphia. No, he's recording everything. So he has, like, two computers set up and two different Skype accounts. And so, like, I'll come in on one Skype account, or when we've had, like, Amy on, she'll come up on a different Skype account, and both of those computers go into the mixing board and out of the mixing board into a third computer. It's very computer intensive.
Well, I don't think it needs to be that overkill,
yes.
Though.
Well, I think, Brian,
we use pretty almost similar methods.
But I think a good way to start this conversation, and this actually applies to blogging and in some ways to fan fiction, is just a basic philosophical question, and that is, how well do I want to do this, and how much trouble and money should I invest? which is a great question, because that varies for different people. But you can do anything from a cheap headset or have multiple computers set up. But when you're asking that question, I always lean towards invest in the quality. If you're doing a blog, it's worth paying for hosting, getting a professional WordPress site, and actually having your own site and owning it. And I think that's definitely worth the money. And some people say, no, I need a free solution. Whether it comes to podcasting, I think it's very much worth investing in very good equipment, because if you're doing this as a fan, I think that being able to have a higher production quality is actually not just good for you, but it's good for the whole community who's trying to listen to you.
Of course, record a couple episodes with your laptop microphone first before you start shelling out $300 on a microphone and a mixer. Yeah, Audacity is a fantastic freeware solution. Yeah. Yeah, and if you wanted to take the having to remix everything together step out, something I would recommend is picking up a USB mixer of some sort. What you can do is plug the mixer into your laptop, run your speaker out into the mixer, and your microphone into the mixer, and that all gets mixed up. Yeah, and dumps both tracks into Audacity.
Basically, all your audio is going to be coming from your computer to the mixer, from your microphone to the mixer, and everything gets sent back to Audacity. That's one way. And then if you want to go the extra step, the absolute best way to record and probably greatest investment you can make, especially if you're going to conventions like you guys are, is actually having a digital audio recorder that its only job is to hook up to your mixer and record your audio, because laptops crash, Audacity crashes.
Yes, it does. I believe you use a Zoom H4n.
Yes, that's on the higher end. There are more entry level ones, but yeah, that digital recorder is probably the best investment I've made as a podcaster.
Now, if you don't want to spend $300 on that, I've got a $140 Tascam DR40 that does pretty much the same job.
Can I ask you guys, because this is all magic to me, it's like somebody waves their hand and Mike gets it on the internet. Like, how do you get it from that recording file to iTunes? Because that's a mystery to me.
What format is it for?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? What conversation are we having over here?
Well,
I'm kidding. I was making a sexual innuendo. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, Brian, when a female digital recorder and a male mixer love each other very much, how do you get it online? Well, there's actually a part of the podcasting process that I don't personally do. We have a mutual friend that has his own podcast network, and he graciously allows us to host his files. So thanks to him, all I have to do is log in to an FTP tool like FileZilla, dump the MP3 file in a folder, and copy the link when it's done into my WordPress blog, where iTunes, WordPress, and the other various tools can get that file.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, press this.
And so it will take the files that you put in WordPress, and it will put them in iTunes. It will automatically just generate it and put it in iTunes.
Yeah, I've got a more convoluted setup because that's how it got set up initially, and I haven't had the time nor desire to fix it.
You've got red on you.
Yeah, we've got an audience member that looks like,
She's got red on her.
She's got red on her. Were you at a wedding?
Not spoilers.
Spoilers.
We got a question back here.
So, this is for podcasters and the bloggers.
Sure.
Well, when we started, we said we're going to do it weekly, just because that seemed like the most logical interval. And we've had to skip weeks, but usually we've done it pretty much weekly. And I think when we started, we were kind of like around the hour mark. Now we're usually around the hour and a half mark, just because when you get more comfortable doing a podcast, you talk more. Like at first we were kind of very diligent sticking to our show notes, and now we're just pretty talk. We fly off the handle like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, we would read our show notes verbatim.
Yeah, but it's just really when you start off, I would say look at your time schedule, because really it's really frustrating when you find a podcast that you like and they say they're a weekly show or they're a bi-weekly show, and then you don't get an episode. And then you're like, oh, man, where's the podcast? And, you know, when we have to miss, we tell them we're not having an episode next week, so they know. But don't try to overextend yourself. I know, Brian, you guys record episodes, like, ahead of time.
Yeah, we'll record a few in a night. Like, we the last time we recorded was 2 weeks ago. We recorded two episodes, and then I'll do like one-off interviews. Like our last episode that we released was an interview I did with Adam Savage for Dragon Con, and just we talked about Star Wars, and he wants his R2 unit in episode 7. So if that can happen, I don't know. But we're going to try. But, you know, we try to record ahead because we're all really busy, and that's part of why what informed that we wanted to try to keep our episodes to between 45 minutes and an hour. Unless we've got somebody on the show that we just can't let go. Like, anytime, like, Sam Witwer's on the show, like, you cannot get that guy to shut up. I love Sam Witwer, but he's like...
Him before me that one night.
Yeah, no, yeah. We had Amy on one night, and it was right after Sam Witwer, and he just kept talking, and we kept trying to cut him off, but every time we came to another, like, point, he's just like, and that brings up another good point. It's like, I don't want to cut Sam Witwer off. And Amy was very gracious in being very patient with that. The format we picked was definitely like I'd been getting asked, like right after the Disney announcement, I got asked to do about 15 podcasts in a week, And so I was like, I can't do 15 podcasts a week. I need to just do one. And if people were going to keep asking me for it, I kind of wanted to just do one and be able to control it and do my thing. And like I said, like getting it onto iTunes is like magic to me. I have no idea how that works. And so I knew I wanted Mike, who does Mike Pilot, who does other podcast shows pretty regularly, and he loves podcasting and he loves Star Wars. And so I called him and then I said, the problem is that it would be really stupid for us to not have a female voice on the show. So we sought a host and found Consetta. And actually we'd asked Amy at one point too. We wanted that voice, and that's how we picked the voice, and we knew we were busy and only wanted to record a couple of times a month tops, and that dictated the length. And weekly made sense because all of Mike's other shows were weekly, and that's just sort of what he understood. And I think a week is actually a long time on the internet when everything is so instant. A week is an eternity. You know, we were 2 days late on our last episode because Mike threw his back out, and we got like 30 messages from people saying like, "Hey, where's the show this week?" And it's you know, people look for it, and if it's consistent, it's consistent. And,
I think it depends as well on what kind of content that you have. For example, my podcast, we do book reviews and comic book reviews, and there's only a couple releases per month, really, when it comes to that stuff with Star Wars. So it wouldn't really make sense for us to do a weekly podcast. There just wouldn't be enough stuff to talk about. So we do a monthly podcast, which I would really recommend if you're thinking about starting a podcast. Maybe start it as a monthly podcast just so you don't have as much commitment. You know, you can just do once a month. And then if you get comfortable with it, then you can expand to doing maybe a bi-weekly or weekly podcast. As far as your question about the content of the podcast, I think it is helpful to have some sort of a structure. I know most of the podcasts up here kind of have sections in their podcast.
Yeah, we kind of shamelessly ripped our format off from the morning stream.
Yeah, so it helps your listeners kind of get used to what to expect, and I think people like that. So I would definitely recommend having some sort of structure as opposed to just talking just to talk for an hour.
Yeah, but as far as, like, record times, that's in flux for us. The more important thing is that we're regularly getting content out. It's less important that it's a consistent hour, more that we're hitting 3 out of 4 weeks a month.
Sure. If you're having trouble scheduling an hour, do a half hour weekly, or and so on and so forth. I think that's a great one. And rather than go into great detail, I think a couple resources, especially for you guys interested in podcasting, blogging, or online really presence at all. If you're trying to build a platform at all as a Star Wars fan, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that if you're a fan and you have things to say, this is the perfect time to build a platform. And that's not the mindset I think a lot of people approach this with, to say, well, I'm just a fan, I want to have a conversation. And I think that's good, there's a place for that. But I think there's also a very legitimate reason to build your voice online. And I think that's a perfect time, especially with the shift in the direction of the saga. So couple resources, actually two. We'll keep it down to two. PodcastAnswerMan.com. Cliff Ravenscraft is the number one best resource on podcasting on the internet, in my less than humble opinion. And he has learned how to podcast.com, which is also owned by him, and he has a great series of probably 15 in-depth videos on his ideal podcast setup, which is similar to what a lot of what we've talked about. And he has great technical and philosophical answers to the question of, if I have a message and I want to share that message with as many people as possible, which is, I think, is a legitimate and good thing that we should be doing as fans, then these are the best ways to do it. Resource number two is Pat Flynn at Smart Passive Income, and he goes more in the blogging industry. And so smartpassiveincome.com, podcastanswerman.com, those are two fantastic resources that I listen to quite regularly and wish that I could actually only, like, maybe 3% be as good at this stuff as they are. and when you take it more seriously like that, you will have huge steps ahead of most people who just approach the fan side of things of saying, well, I just want to say what I have to say and then be done. But I think shouting into a black hole is not what any of us want to do, and that's what the internet is for. It's for community and reaching out to more people.
And just to add to that, like as far as with podcasting is concerned, or anything really, if you're interested in fan things, watch or read other fan things. Like nothing frustrates me more than someone going into the fan fiction forums and posting their story and then saying, "Why has no one read my story?" And I've never heard them seen them before. And I'm like, because you aren't reading other ones, and reading other stories made me better. Same with blogging. I followed a bunch of Star Wars blogs before I started writing for our blog, and then I listened to a ton of podcasts before we even started podcasting. And I think I'm one of the only person who actually listens back to the podcast.
I don't.
Because I'm like, oh, I sound terrible. I have to stop doing that.
Oh, no, I was going to add to that fan fiction one. Even if you don't read the other fan fictions, look at the ones that get a lot of hits. Look at the formatting. For posting online, you want to make it easy for people to read. It's easier to read shorter paragraphs. Always have a blank space between your paragraphs. Never have a big block of text unless you're trying to annoy people. These are all nuts and bolts about doing fan fiction and making it accessible. Reading on a screen is way different from having it in a book. They're just, you know, and the usual thing, punctuation and typos and proofreading and all that. I'm one to talk. There's always a typo, but learn to live with it.
And I just looked at my phone.
Kill them when you find them.
Exactly. I just looked at my phone. I subscribe to 9 Star Wars podcasts that I listen to fairly regularly.
See, I'm guilty of I'll listen to the occasional Star Wars podcast and nothing personal against any.
I
don't
personally
even listen.
Insulted Brian.
I don't listen to the Full of Sith podcast either. And I probably wouldn't if I were not on it. And it's just because of my day job. I'm like editing video and audio. And so listening to a podcast doesn't work. But I go out of my way to read. Like, I read tons of what you guys read across the board. And everybody, and everybody's pretty good about, like, I know what's going on all of your podcasts because I can read all the show notes that you guys have posted, which I think is really important for anybody doing a podcast. So it's like, I know what's going on, even if I'm not specifically listening to every episode. But I have listened to episodes of all your podcasts.
We call that lurking.
Yeah. No, totally lurking. But, as far as that, though, I mean, you have to know what's going on in the community. Otherwise, what you're saying isn't relevant. You know, I think we saw a lot of that with, you know, questions that people will ask, especially in forums like this, where it's like, I haven't done any of the research, I haven't done a simple blog search to find out the information I'm asking, but I have a question for so-and-so. Please answer it for the 90th time, because I'm not sure you've ever answered it before in my life.
So how did you feel when you learned that Mara Jade died, Mr. Zahn?
I'm not naming names.
I will be honest, I gave up on the EU in the early 90s because I could see the writers didn't have the backstory. And of course, a lot of EU got wiped out by the prequels, so when I read Mara Jade, I said, oh God, she's going to be Luke's love interest, they're going to get married, they're going to have kids, and that made her so predictable, I never warmed up to her. I never hated her, but when she died, it had no effect on me.
I loved her, but one thing to consider, Riley was talking about resources on basically how-to stuff, and I mean, Brian and everybody else have mentioned, and Nancy was talking about following the community, but both are immersing yourself in the community, being a part of the community, contributing to the community, but exposing yourself to people who you can learn from, and this is where, don't be afraid to start and to make mistakes, but definitely reach out to others and become immersed in the community. Hunt down those resources. Ask from people who've been doing it for a long time, both within the community and with the technical side of things. You know, you want to write, talk to writers who write really well, but also talk to the WordPress guru. If you want to podcast, learn all about the equipment, but then also learn about speaking and how to speak well. And definitely just start, because you'll learn as you go.
I was wondering about you podcasters. I mean, as soon as episode 7, the announcement came out, you know, everything got inflamed, and I guess you had to prepare for it. Here's another thing that might come up, and are you prepared for it, is, you know, what if the episode 7 comes out and it doesn't pay any attention or to all or most of the expanded universe?
Let it begin!
I'm like expecting a big explosion. How do you prepare for that?
I came to terms with that a long time ago.
Counting on it. Yeah.
Same. I mean, it actually provides something like that. Actually, provides a lot of fodder for discussion, and things to write about. When a couple months ago, I wrote a piece on our blog called "Star Wars: The Expanded or Star Wars Marvel and the Multiverse," in which I pitched the idea of embrace the expanded universe as the ultimate continuity, and the films and the television as the Earth 616 continuity.
And then I wrote a response piece to his piece about why maybe that's not the best idea.
And then Aaron came on our podcast and we talked about it.
Yeah, we had a crossover podcast where we discussed it. But yeah, I agree with Brian. If anything else, with the episode 7 coming out, it just gives us more to talk about.
Yeah.
If they don't, you know, depending on the EU or not the EU, I mean, there's going to be plenty for us to talk about, plenty more, you know, movies coming out every year now, you know, starting in 2015, plus we're going to have, I'm sure, more novels and comics are going to keep coming out, so there's just going to be more for us to talk about.
I think the important thing to remember, whatever happens to the EU, whether it's overwritten or placed to the side or whatever, like, we are getting new movies, we're going to continue getting books and comics, whatever form they're in, and Star Wars is going to live on, and we're going to have plenty to discuss and argue about, and and we'll do it passionately. And I think that's what's so great about the Star Wars community, is that we all have such a personal stake in Star Wars, sometimes detrimentally so, to all have our opinion, and we're all entitled to that, and that's what's so great about it, that something so personal to one guy that he created is so universally beloved on a personal level to so many people. I think that's so just fascinating in and of itself, and we should just talk about that even.
The Clone Wars gave a backstory for the Mandalorians, I'm sure there was a reaction because there was a whole backstory in the EU, and one of the authors was upset in a huff, but since she didn't like Jedi, I didn't care.
But another thing is... I was just going to mention really quickly, as an example, to answer your question, I like the Clone Wars. I like those episodes. I also liked Karen Travis's books. I enjoyed both. The new movie coming out...
Nuance, what is that?
But when episode 7 comes out, if it takes characters and turns them into entirely different creation or ignores them entirely and creates a new story, that doesn't mean I can't still enjoy the books that I have read or even go back and reread some of them or read ones that I haven't caught. I'll enjoy both.
That will be a motivation for writing your fan fiction.
Yeah, I really cannot wait for all the fan fiction about Luke's daughter. I'm really excited about it.
Seriously, my kingdom for a female Skywalker lead.
So, well, aren't they all Skywalkers, though, really? Jane is a Skywalker.
Well, last name Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
I want Han and Luke's children to not have the Force. Sorry.
No,
sorry,
that's...
I want Han and Leia's children to... They could do it. They have the technology. But I want Han and Leia's children to not be force sensitive. See what happens with that.
So we have time for one question. Amy, did you have a comment?
I'm going to make a super quick point that about episode 7 and the EU is, and I realize I come from this perspective with, I adore the EU part that I've read, but I can separate them, is even if it overwrites something or doesn't reference it, it's still there. Nobody's going back and retconning the books and tearing them up. So if you like Karen Travis's Mando mercs and you don't care about Clone Wars, you can still read your character. Nobody's taking them away.
And the important thing about that to remember is that, as we all know, probably within the next year or so, there is a scheduled time at Big Rock where J.J. Abrams will be personally burning a warehouse of every single last expanded universe.
So
no.
hold on.
They've had enough fires at the ranch.
With Linslayer, exactly.
Hold on to your copy of Heir to the Empire, lest Disney's people come in and take it from you.
They're coming for our EU. They're coming for them.
They were not able to kill the holiday special. they will not succeed. Not all the lawyers in Disney can.
That's why we can't have a registry of EU books, because they will come for us and they will take our EU books. So we've got time for one last question. Does anyone please promise if I call on you, you'll make it a good one? Anyone? No one has a question. We've answered all the questions. You've got
a
question.
Here we go.
Okay. My question is, it's a little bit, no, the question's for everyone. Basically, you have your real life and you have your fandom life.
No.
And
no.
Do we?
No.
Like, if you're looking for a job or something and you don't want someone to Google your name and necessarily find your, like, Star Wars podcast. So I'm just, you might want that. I'm curious, how do people, like, think about that? Do you try to, like, use a pseudonym or a handle online, or do you just go to, like, here's my name, this is my information?
Now, my name is listed on what I write and what I podcast.
Well, and I think this is, I'd love to tackle this question, because this is a very interesting philosophical question that I've really changed on. I am a first-year college student joining the Air Force ROTC program, going into Air Force Special Forces, who does a freaking Star Wars podcast. Eat it. So I have a very, very specific vision and direction that me personally that I take my life and direction in. But I think it's important to give a whole picture of who you are online. So I actually think that a warning that I would actually give is that, and something that I'll be changing, is that in the future, the content I create online will not just be Star Wars, but it'll be an expression of who I am as a person. And that's so, that raw honesty about who you are is so important. And I think you can do yourself a disservice if you only do Star Wars, if there are more dimensions to you. So it can be overwhelming. You don't have to start a blog on every single interest, but I think anyone who wants to create content online, which I think everyone here does in one way or the other, it's very important that you have your vision of who you want to be and make that and make it so.
And I'd add just this quick point that, how is it really different if you're writing and blogging and podcasting about Star Wars or writing, blogging, and podcasting about sports?
Yeah, now...
It's the same thing. Sports fandom and geek culture fandom are the exact same thing.
It's changing. In the next few years, that won't be the case.
No, For fan fiction, I was writing and having stories printed back in the days of the hard copy print and snail mail days under my own name. So when it came to online, I posted under A.R. Davenport. And if I have something I don't want anybody to know I write, I don't put it on the internet.
Yeah, it boils down to that.
Under a pseudonym or at all.
I blog and podcast and do writing, like, fiction writing stuff under my real name. My fan fiction I post under a pseudonym, just because I when I try to publish original fiction, I don't want people to Google my name and get that. Like, not that I'm ashamed that I wrote it, it's just not what I want. And if people, like, and if I end up talking to people, I'll be like, oh yeah, I wrote Star Wars fiction, this is my handle. But it's just not, when people Google my name, they find my writing blog and Tashi Station.
I think, personally, in my opinion, the problem with the internet is anonymity. And I own it. I mean, I make a living with me being who I am and people being able to Google me and see everything I'm doing. And so I think you just need to own it and be honest with yourself. And I'm not sure how fulfilling a life could be where your fandom life, which I think we all really enjoy, which is why we're here, is hidden or secret or pseudonymous. You know, like, I don't know how fulfilled you could be.
And I think it can actually surprisingly lead to other opportunities where if you're using your real name, especially if you're a blogger, there's websites out there, bigger websites that do pay people to blog. And if you're blogging under your real name and you're doing it for a fan site or something like that, and you're doing a great job, other websites might actually take notice of you and other opportunities might come up. So I think you're selling yourself short if you're not using your real name.
Yeah.
Times are changing. People, you know, it's not so taboo to be a Star Wars fan or geek in general. I know at my job, I proudly tell, you know, all my, you know, all my bosses or people that I work for know that I blog Star Wars. I have a Star Wars podcast. And if anything, I think it shows them the creativity and things that about you, and makes you a little bit more interesting than just the other people that work in the office. So I think it can actually work in your favor as opposed to working against you.
I definitely agree with Aaron. But again, like you pointed out, there are people who still think geek equals crazy, or if you're a Star Wars fan, you are a fanatic.
I have a regular day job that I like that pays me enough money that has nothing to do with fan fiction, but I've told people, it's like I write fan fiction online. Oh, by the way, you know, just tell them you want it. If for any, you know, say if you want the link, you can have it. Showing people's your fan fiction is like showing your slides from your last vacation. I mean, if they're interested, they'll go there. But it's not a secret or anything like that.
Yeah. So. But to address the other side of that is sometimes you can meet people like that halfway. They may not be. I mean, sometimes you think, oh, they're attacking me or they're close-minded, but sometimes it's just because they have no experience with them, and you can explain, well, this is a podcast. A podcast is like radio, but it's on the internet. Or I'm a Star Wars fan. I write about Star Wars, but it's like people who write about baseball. And it kind of ties into what Amy said about if you create a blog, you can write whatever you like on that page. You can show that, you know, I'm a Star Wars fan, but is that the whole of me? No. I mean, I'm fans of many other things. I have other hobbies that are completely not technically geek related. And like Riley said, you can show that whole picture of yourself. And I do think that that is important to meet people at the halfway point. And who knows? They might get sucked into it.
Okay. I think that's it for the panel. We've got to give away some stuff, right, Brandy?
Yeah, guys, give them a big round of applause.